Good morning. Would you join with me in following John 11, 1 to 45? Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After this, he went on, to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. May the Lord bless his word to us today.
Good morning, church. As Ada and Anya mentioned before, my name is David, and it's great to be here with you this morning. We've been doing a series called Meet Jesus, where we look into the New Testament in the Bible, specifically the book of John. John being the author, he was one of Jesus' closest friends, and he recorded some of the great claims Jesus made. And one of those claims is, "I am the resurrection and the life." We'll explore this claim in a moment, but before we get to that, I want to start off with a very real and serious question. Can we trust in God even in times of despair? We all feel the weight of this question, don't we? Especially when our life seems to be falling apart. And it's not an easy question to answer. But I want to share a real-life story with you, one that might help us realize this question. It's about a German pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You might have heard of him, or maybe not. He was a very gifted and smart man, someone who accomplished a lot at a very young age. He had a promising future in academics and work in churches, but then everything changed when World War II happened. In 1943, he was captured by the Nazis because they found out he was part of a group that resisted Hitler. Suddenly, his life went from being full of promise and security to one of fear and uncertainty. And on top of that, he lost a lot of people that he loved during the war, his friends and family. Unfortunately, Dietrich was executed at just 39 years old, just weeks before the war ended. This man, like any of us here today, was going through a moment of despair. His life seemed to be falling apart. Now, maybe our moment of despair is different, but the question remains the same, and it needs to be asked in the moment. Can we trust in God even in moments of despair? That's the kind of question that becomes very real, especially when our life seems to be falling apart. And so with that in mind, let's dive into the passage that Mark just read out for us, and we'll break it down into five scenes. And by the end of scene five, we'll be able to answer the big question for today. So here's the situation in the first scene, starting in verse 1. There's a man named Lazarus, and he lives in Bethany with his two sisters, Mary and Martha. This family is very close to Jesus. They love Jesus and they know Jesus loves them. Unfortunately, Lazarus is very sick. So his sisters send a message to Jesus in verse 3 saying, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Now, Mary and Martha's message is simple, but it's trusting for two reasons. Firstly, they spent time with Jesus and would have seen him heal a lot of people. So they trusted that he had the power to heal. Secondly, they trusted that Jesus would come help because he loves Lazarus. This love reassured them that Jesus would come through for Lazarus just as he had come through for them before. And it's because of these two reasons they believed that he would drop everything and ride as fast as he can to help Lazarus. The urgency in their message was real too, because if Jesus doesn't come on time, Lazarus will die. And that would be a painful loss for everyone, and upsetting too, because it could have been avoided. Has anyone had to call 000 before? Yep, it's definitely not something we enjoy, and I hope that's the case. But I've had to call 000 for my mum one time. She was really sick, to the point where we thought it was life-threatening. So as a family, we called the ambulance, and even though we were scared and stressed, we were hopeful that the ambos would come in time. I'll come back to this story later. But we can see that's the right thing to do, isn't it? When our loved one is sick, we call for help. Just like Mary and Martha here, we can be confident that our call for help to Jesus will be heard because we also share a loving relationship with Jesus. And when life gets tough and it seems to be falling apart, we can bring our needs to him. We can cry to him for help, trusting that he'll respond because he loves us and is always listening. So can I encourage you, friends, that if we're going through something right now, whether it's our faith, work, family, friends, or whatever, let's bring it forward to Jesus. Because he's always listening and he will respond because he loves us. Let's move on to the next scene. The call for help is sent. Jesus gets the message and his response in verses 5 to 6. Because he loves his family so much, he stayed where he was for another 2 more days. And after 2 days had passed, Jesus decides to see Lazarus. And at this point, we can see in verse 14 that Lazarus is already dead. But doesn't Jesus love this family? If so, wouldn't helping Lazarus right away be the right and loving thing to do? So, why on earth would he delay it? If anything, that seems like an unloving thing to do, isn't it? But we know that's not the case because verse 5 says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." We know that Jesus loves this family. So he must have had reasons for his delay. But what was his purpose in delaying his visit? Well, there are 3 hints in verses 4, 11, and 15. Let's look at verse 4. Jesus says, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." He says that this sickness will not end in death, yet Lazarus is dead. So, how is God and his Son going to be glorified through this situation? Is Jesus pointing to something bigger? Perhaps he's going to tell us who he really is. We get a clue in verse 11. Jesus says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." Now, if asleep means to be dead, then wake him up must mean bringing Lazarus back from the dead. If that's the case, then it may very well glorify God and his Son, because it shows that Jesus has power to bring someone back to life from death. And we get another hint as to why Jesus had delayed his visit in verse 15. He says, "And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Jesus intended for people to witness his work. He could have told the disciples to stay where they were and that he'll go see Lazarus himself. But he invited them to come along so that they may witness and believe in him. And this could only happen if Jesus delayed his visit. So it seems the reason for this delay is because Jesus is going to reveal who he is by doing something huge, something that will glorify God, and that people who witness it may believe in him. Going back to when I called 000 for my mum, the operator reassured me that everything's going to be okay and that an ambulance is on its way. But 30 minutes goes by. I started to panic because my mum's really sick in bed. And by this point, I'm wondering if the operator ever sent that ambulance. Well, thankfully, the ambos arrived 30 minutes later and helped my mum. She's all good and healthy now. But let's compare my experience to the situation here. I don't share a loving relationship with the ambos. Yet they came and helped my mum. On the other hand, Jesus loves this family. They called to him for help, but he delayed his visit. And by the time he gets there, it's too late. So when we bring our needs to Jesus and cry to him for help, but it seems like he's not answering, and our life continues to fall apart, what do we do? It can be so hard. But friends, keep trusting in him, even when things don't make sense, and it seems like he's not answering. Keep coming to him with our cries and needs. Don't be discouraged, but continue trusting in him. Even if we don't know what God is doing, he hears, he knows, and he's at work in our lives. I know that's easier said than done, but as we see in the next scene, verse 17 tells us that Jesus and his disciples finally arrive in Bethany, and he finds out that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Martha hears that Jesus is in town, so she runs out to him and cries to him in verse 21 to 22. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And despite what's happened, she still has faith in Jesus. And Jesus responds to her in verse 23, your brother will rise again. What does he mean, Lazarus will rise again? Does it have something to do with what he said earlier in verse 11, that he will bring Lazarus back to life? Let's see how Martha responds in verse 24. I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Now, it's likely she wasn't on the same page as Jesus here. Martha believes in the resurrection, but she's thinking about the big final resurrection at the end of time. And that's when everyone who's died will come back to life. And that was a common belief held by the Jews at the time. Many believed that God would raise up the righteous at the end of time, as promised in the Old Testament. But from what Jesus said in verse 11, it seems Lazarus will rise again sooner than Martha expects. And this leads to the climactic moment of this conversation. In verses 25 to 26, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's an extraordinary claim. Jesus isn't just talking about the future event that Martha understands, but he's saying that he's the only source of the resurrection and life. It's like using our smartphones. We can only keep them running by plugging it into a charger. But if we don't, oh, we can still use it for a bit. But eventually the phone's going to die. Well, in the same way, if we try to find resurrection and life outside of Jesus, it's like trying to use a phone without charging it. It will only work for a while, and then we die. Jesus is the only source of resurrection and life, both now and forever. And that's a big claim. But he breaks it down for us in verses 25 to 26. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. What's amazing here is that Jesus is promising a new kind of life starting right now. That for those who believe in him, even though they'll die, they'll live forever with Jesus. Death is not the end, but it is something that we must go through to have eternal life with Jesus. And then with this big claim, Jesus asked Martha the most important question at the end of verse 26. Do you believe this? And her response in verse 27? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Well, here's the thing. Up until this point, there's no proof that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Nothing has happened yet to show that Lazarus will rise again. And given all that's happened to Martha, she trusts in Jesus and his words, even when everything around her seems to be falling apart. Imagine this for a moment. We're going on a holiday with our family to New York. We're 10 hours into an 18-hour flight. Suddenly, we start feeling very sick. Our instincts tell us that if we don't get help right away, life could end right here. However, the person sitting next to us notices and says that they're a doctor and they can help. But they didn't bring anything to prove it. Now, we have a life or death situation to make. Do we trust and accept this offer? Or do we stay suspicious and reject this offer? That's a big decision, right? Well, Martha's in a similar situation. She's in despair. Jesus makes this big claim. And she has to make a decision. Will she trust him or will she reject him? And her decision is to trust in Jesus. I can't even imagine how hard that must have been for her. But honestly, all of us here can relate to Martha. We've all gone through moments of despair, or maybe we're going through it right now. When life seems to be falling apart for us, we can't help but ask, is God even listening? I mean, how can I trust him when bad things keep happening to me? I get it. It can be so hard and frustrating. But friends, if I can encourage you in any way, let's be like Martha. Let's trust in Jesus, believing in him and his promises. Even when she doesn't know everything, she still chooses to trust. Again, I know this sounds optimistic, and it might even come off as stoic. But I want to say that it's completely normal and okay to grieve when life seems to be falling apart. Perhaps we're feeling sad, confused, or even frustrated. And that's okay, because we see it in the next scene beginning in verse 28. After Martha believes in Jesus, she goes to Mary and tells her that Jesus is looking for her. So Mary runs to Jesus, falls at his feet, and says in verse 32, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Notice how Mary says the same thing as Martha in verse 21. But it's also different because Mary ends it right there. She doesn't follow up like Martha in verse 22. "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." It's not that Mary isn't faithful like her sister. In fact, John the author is emphasizing Mary's humanity here. We see in verse 32 that Mary did something that Martha didn't. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. Mary literally fell onto her hands and knees at Jesus' feet. She's clearly distraught. It's a human thing to feel and express our emotions. It's normal to grieve when you've lost a loved one. And it's normal to be frustrated when you know it could have been prevented. All of this is what makes us human. So when Jesus sees that Mary and the other Jews are weeping together, we see in verse 33 that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Jesus empathizes with Mary and Martha here. Lazarus wasn't only loved by his sisters, he was loved by Jesus as well. Jesus knows what it's like to lose someone you love, and he's troubled because he's angry at death. The idea that it can take away life, that it even exists, is just evil and ugly. Death was never meant to be part of God's creation. So it's completely normal and understandable to see that Jesus wept in verse 35. Now, Jesus knew what he did. He intentionally delayed his visit. He knows Lazarus is dead for 4 days now. He even told his disciples and Martha that Lazarus will come back to life. So if Jesus knew all this, why is he weeping? It's because he's human, like all of us here. Just because he knows the outcome doesn't mean it stops him from reacting to the reality of death. But it's also more than that. It's because Jesus has deep sorrow over what death has done to his good creation. It destroys life. Has anyone seen Toy Story 3? Yeah. I've seen the movie more times than I can count on both hands. And there's this scene towards the end of the movie where all the toys are at a landfill and they're sitting on a pile of rubbish that's leading to an incinerator. They hold each other's hands and they look at one another, knowing that this is their last moment together. They look at the incinerator, they close their eyes, preparing to die together. Now, there's a happy ending to this. Eventually, the toys get saved and none of them die. But let me tell you, I've never cried so hard for a bunch of toys before. But even though I've watched it so many times and I know how it ends, I can't help but get choked up and emotional when that scene comes on. It's like what's happening here with Jesus' weeping. He knows the outcome, but it doesn't stop him from reacting to death. In my case, it's just a bunch of toys that didn't even die. So how much more is Jesus feeling when someone he loves is struggling or dies? Friends, I understand that life can get tough, even for believers. In fact, Jesus says it's to be expected when we follow him. And in those moments of despair, it's completely okay and normal to feel sad, confused, or frustrated. Even Mary, in her moment of grief and sorrow, she fell and cried at Jesus' feet. Maybe there's someone who you feel comfortable with at church today. Someone you trust and can walk alongside you. Can I encourage you to reach out to them afterwards? Share your burdens and pray together. And even when we don't have words to express how we feel, we can confidently go to Jesus because he understands. He shares in our humanity and feels our pain. He's moved in his spirit when he sees us struggle, and he meets us in our moments of despair. We see this clearly in the next scene. Starting in verse 38, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. He responds to his friend's despair with compassion, and he finally makes his way to Lazarus's tomb. In verse 39, Jesus calls to move the stone away, but Martha responds, "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days." It's interesting, isn't it? And just earlier in verse 27, Martha said she believes in Jesus and his claim as the resurrection and life. Yet now she's hesitating. It's as if she's saying, "Lord, what's going on? Why are you opening the tomb now?" And what Martha's confusion is understandable. She's not seeing the bigger picture yet. So Jesus reminds her in verse 40, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Earlier in verse 4, Jesus says that Lazarus' sickness will not end in death, but it is for God's glory so that his son may be glorified through it. And in verse 15, Jesus tells his disciples that for their sake, he was glad he delayed his visit so that they may believe in him. Everything Jesus has said so far is building towards this very moment, the moment Jesus has been preparing everyone for. And now he's about to reveal how his glory will unfold and how he'll show everyone that he is the resurrection and the life. So as the stone rolls away, Jesus thanks God the Father in verse 42 so that those who hear Jesus may believe that he was sent to reveal his glory. And here comes the moment we've all been waiting for, the miracle. In verses 43 to 44, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." How amazing is that? The man who was dead for 4 days is now standing outside the tomb, alive. Earlier in verse 4, Jesus said that the sickness will not end in death. Even though Lazarus did die, he's now alive. And in the same verse, Jesus says that it will glorify God and his son. And it did, because it showed Jesus' power over death. Jesus didn't just claim he is the resurrection and the life. He proved it. He proved that in him there is life. And by the power of his word, Lazarus came back to life. But the miracle isn't just to show Jesus' power as well. It's a call for everyone who witnessed it. It's the same call that Jesus asked Martha in verse 26. Do you believe this? And in verse 45, we see that those who witnessed this miracle believed in Jesus. And that's great news, because those who believe in Jesus are promised eternal life. As for Martha and Mary, the miracle they witnessed, that's a reminder that they can trust him, even in moments of despair. So friends, as we reflect on this part of the Bible, there's two questions we need to consider. Firstly, can we trust in Jesus as the resurrection and the life? Yes, absolutely. What have we seen in the passage today? In verse 17, we learn that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days when Jesus arrived in Bethany. Then in verse 14, Jesus promises that Lazarus will come back to life. In verse 25, Jesus makes the big claim, I am the resurrection and the life. And finally, in verses 43 to 44, we see Jesus bring Lazarus back to life. When we think about it, isn't it amazing that Jesus is the one who can turn death into life? I mean, can anyone else do that? Can anyone else truly give life when there seems to be none? Friends, Jesus clearly is the one and only source of resurrection and life, and we can trust in him confidently. Because we see his words aren't just empty promises, they're backed up by his actions. Secondly, we come to the big question. Can we trust in God even in moments of despair? Again, yes. We saw what happened with Martha and Mary. When their lives were falling apart, what did Jesus do? Did he ignore them? No, he listened and he showed up. And he didn't just show up though, he grieved with them. He wept with them. And then he brought their brother Lazarus back to life. If Jesus was there for Martha and Mary in their moment of despair, can we trust that he's with us in ours? Can we trust that he's right there, ready to comfort us? And even when his timing doesn't make sense, can we trust that he has a plan? Yes, yes, and yes. Friends, we have the same Lord as Martha and Mary. We can be confident and trust in Jesus as the resurrection and the life, knowing that he will meet us in our moments of despair. Isn't that the hope that we all need? Whether we're going through loss, pain, or struggle right now or in the future, what else do we have if not Jesus? Keep trusting in Jesus because he's faithful to carry you through every moment, no matter how hard it may seem. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son Jesus. How gracious and kind of you to give us hope for resurrection and eternal life in Jesus, who is the one and only source of it. We thank you that you are faithful to your promises, that you are who you say you are, and you'll do what you said you'll do. We pray that you'll listen to our cries and help us in our moment of despair. But when it seems silent, we pray that you'll comfort us and help us to keep persevering in life. Help us to keep trusting that you are at work, even when it seems silent. And help us to keep believing in Jesus, who is the resurrection and life, who meets us in our moments of despair. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.